All right, Revelation chapter 5, starting place. Well, tonight we look at the subject, the Lamb is worthy to receive blessing. The Lamb is worthy to receive blessing. So many different things, as always. I just love the Bible. You know, just always studying, reading, and just seeing things all the time. So many things on my mind, my heart, that would be a blessing if there's to hear, but and we won't take till midnight to preach all those tonight. But but Revelation chapter 5, in verse 1, you'll notice that the word of God says this: "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." There's no one like Jesus Christ. Never forget that. "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither look thereon." You know, we've read this every time we look. I love this because it's like when you know a story and there's this tense moment, but you know the hero's coming in, you know? And even though I've read this, I don't know how many times we studied this, I know the Lamb is coming, amen? And so the Lamb is coming, so praise God. Verse 3, I think I'll start there again. "And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Now you think about it, this doesn't look, when you read this, this is not our Michelangelo picture vision of Jesus Christ, amen. This is a powerful lamb here. And it says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them vials and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Exalt thyself, and may your worthiness be seen through the scripture and through preaching. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen. What amazing passage. As always, we see here several things we looked at already, but the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive blessing. Blessing, by definition, is any means of happiness, a gift, praising or extolling or exalting. And so certainly the Lamb that was slain is worthy for us to give any happiness we could attribute to him, any gift we could attribute to him, any praise we could attribute to him. He's definitely worthy of that. And of course, worthy means he's deserving of worth or of excellence. And God is definitely all those things. And So we're looking from an aspect, from the definition. Mainly I was praying about how to go about this. But by definition, since worthiness is a gift, and the Lamb is worthy of, he's worthy of our blessing. And we think about what we can give to God, how we can give to Him. And to look at this, I thought about some of the blessing that God gives to us, and attribute this in such a way maybe we can see God is worthy. First thing, very simply, one of His greatest blessings is His life itself. You know, you realize that just the fact that God gave us life, you know, we can experience Him. All the things we know, this these hands that move, these bodies that do all these things, and the Lamb is worthy to receive blessing because He gave us life, and so it's not too much of this life be given to Him. In John chapter 1, since we want to put all the glory to the Lamb, in John chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Word of God says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is why you are sitting in your chair tonight. You were made by Him. All things were made by Him. And the life itself, it is a great blessing, and to be able to serve and honor God and to walk with Him. And He gave us physical life, and He also gave us spiritual life at the onset. Of course, we know Adam and Eve, they removed that part of it. But then He, again, restored, gives us life again. As you know from John chapter 3, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So not only did the Lamb give us life, then when we took our own life, so to speak, He gave us life again through Himself and God the Father surrendering Him. And Matthew chapter 20. We see spelled out a little more clearly about Him giving His life. Matthew 20 and verse 26. "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." Every time I read this verse, the kids are, my wife sent it to me or somebody, they were just, I don't know what they call them, but they have these bizarre, I don't know if they're vines or things that go off that show pictures, and this shows this guy with his wild hairdo, and he says, "What? You're called to ministry, and you won't even pick up chairs?" it was given the illustration that, I know I went to Bible college with some people that said they were called a minister, but they wouldn't serve in any way. And even one of the men that was in the church when I was training, you know, he kept saying, "I want to train for the ministry like Brother Harper did. I want to train for the ministry like Brother Harper does." But what he didn't realize, Brother Harper was staying up till 10 o'clock at night with his wife and doing things with his kids until then. Then after they all went to bed, I was going to church at 10 o'clock at night, spending time with my pastor as we studied doctrine and principles and still working and then serving in the church and everywhere I could because I enjoyed ministering and I enjoyed serving people. And that's something that God gave me, a gift that He gave me. And our Savior, He said the way that we minister, He said, "The Son of Man, if whosoever be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." Now here's what we're looking for. "And to give his life a ransom for many." So the Lamb, His blessing is life. He gave it through creation. He gave it through salvation. And He gave it through His own service. He came and lived in this earth and gave His life. Can you imagine? You think about that. He came. I know we've said it 1,000 different ways, but He came to this earth simply to die for us. Let that sink in, and you think about, as a child of God, what is our greatest struggle? We are been placed in this world, and we are so threatened daily about how to hold on to this life that we've been given. Instead of actually just be like our Savior and give this life that we've been given. I mean, if we could really grasp that, I think we'd have more power and we'd have more faith. And I don't want to say reckless abandon, but I tell you, there is a power in not being afraid to lose your life. The reason why I have trouble with heights, you know, I'm afraid to lose my life. Sometimes I tell you, I had the greatest blessing the last time I was driving over the Burlington Skyway. And my legs were getting kind of queasy because it happens every time I do that. And I just stopped and I just said, I'm going to heaven when I die. And you know what? Immediately, I was at a calm. My legs felt better. I thought, well, praise God. I have to remember that, you know. So if I ever have to work on heights again, if I fall off, I'm going to heaven. So, but our blessing is life. And the Lamb is worthy to receive blessing, the same blessing he gave us, life. For life. One of my favorite songs, I think it's a Tally Trio singing, called it His Life for Mine. Because Jesus came, he gave his life for mine. And what a blessing that is. And the Lamb is worthy to receive blessing. And he's worthy because without him, we would not even have the opportunity to bless him. Second thing I want you to notice, not only is his blessing his life, but his blessings are good. His blessings are good. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Occasionally in the Bible, I have different verses that I call some of the most unbelieved verses in the Bible. And what we're going to read is one of the most unbelieved verses in the Bible. It's known, it's understood, it's comprehended, but it's not believed. And I'll show you why in just a moment. James chapter 1 and verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So don't make a mistake. He said, what I'm about to tell you, don't make this mistake. Don't have the wrong idea about this. James 1, now verse 17, here's what he said. Now don't make this mistake. I'm going to tell you something. Most good gifts and perfect gifts come from above. Is that what the Bible says? That's what we believe, though, isn't it? That's what we believe. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, good by definition means complete or sufficiently perfect in its kind. Anybody like good gifts for their life? Anybody like perfect gifts for their life? You ever get a gift from somebody or you give somebody something that says, oh, that's just perfect. Because it's exactly what they need, you know. That was a good gift. But God's blessings are good. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, if that's true, and it is, why do we look for gifts in other places? Why, if we really believe what we just read here, why would we covet anything on this earth at all? Because if we believe that's true, then for me to look for a gift from any other direction, I know that I'm taking something into my life that is not going to be complete. And it's not going to be perfect in its kind. In fact, it's just not going to be good. Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, we know that and we understand that, but we need to believe that. Because number one, that'll take us back to prayer. Everyone that asketh what? Receiveth. Who's it talking about receiving it from? Who's it talking about receiving it from? God. Yeah, God. And so we would want to pray. We'd want to receive from him. What Satan has done so crafty, so busy with us, that it's so easy to accumulate and receive from direction. You know, they call it empowerment, you know. We are empowered in this life. And God, we have liberty in this life. We've been called into liberty, but we really don't have any power. But we like to think we do, and so we acquire things. that are not always good. They seem like they're good. That's what Proverbs 19, I think 21 is about. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it seems to be good, but at the end, all of a sudden, then the death comes behind it. But his blessings are good, and since the Lamb is worthy to receive our blessings, because that good gifts he gives us, we give back to him. The good gift is life. And everything else that revolves around that. And he's worthy to receive blessing, because only by him comes good gifts and perfect gifts. And if you think about that, then how much easier it would be to wait on the Lord. How much easier it would be to pray and wait on God to give you good and perfect gifts. Because, again, if what we just read is true, if it doesn't come from him, it's not good and it's not perfect. Anybody want to willingly take a bad gift into your life, you know? We do it, but we don't really want to, you know? I mean, it's just like, but it's just our inability to have faith in what God really said about himself. You know, that's clear enough. Thank you, Lord. Now, Proverbs 10. God is good, you know. I was trying to explain that deeper, and the guy said, "My Holy Spirit's got that. I can do that one." Woo! Proverbs 10. The blessing of the Lord, verse 22, pardon me. Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. Now, rich by definition means abounding in valuable ingredients and qualities. Abounding in valuable ingredients and qualities. So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You know, money itself, everybody would like to be rich. I think we would. We'd say that. We know. But you know, I was thinking this week how the poor really are blessed. Because, you know, in North America, we have varying generations of rich people. You know, many would never call themselves rich. But, you know, the rich are always trying to get to the next level. If I could just get to here, then I'll be a little more secure. If I just get to here, I'll be a little more secure. You know, if I could just get to here, it'd be better. If I could just have that, you know, I'd be okay. But, you know, the poor, man, they're just poor. I mean, that's all we're going to do. And there's a contentment with poverty. And there is, the Bible says, blessed are the poor, poor in spirit. For there's, the kingdom of God. Is that right? And the poor, blessed are the poor, they're rich in, the poor of this world should be rich in faith. Because I tell you, faith, and one, faith moves mountains. Faith does that which no man can do. And the blessing of the Lord, he makes us rich. And many lives in this world are surrounded by gifts, but not good gifts. And not perfect gift. Now, I read a good verse today. Now, again, I try to tell you all the time, I'm not trying to talk anybody into having a vow of poverty or anything like that, but I'm just trying to, when we pursue the wrong thing and we try to get it without the Lord, Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19, Isaiah 1, verse 19, it says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So God was telling his people, you know, he wasn't against them having the good of the land. But they need to be willing servants of his. They need to be obedient unto him. But so often we target the good of the land, and we try to figure out how we can manipulate the will of God to get us the good of the land. Instead of just saying God is good, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And since only his blessings are good, if anything else I can do it in my own, then it's not good. So it gives me the power and ability to wait on God. And then if I'm actually praying for something, since everyone that asks it receiveth, and the him that seeketh findeth, if it does not come, then there's a pretty good chance that it wasn't good. Or it's not good timing. Because God sometimes makes us wait on the things he wants to give us. But his blessings are good. The Lamb is worthy to receive blessing because his blessing is life. And number two, his blessings are good. And now, I like this last one. And I like them all because I like the Bible. But his blessing of praise. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Now, we think we should praise the Lord. But it was amazing. I was thinking about God began when he made us. He praised us. And not because who we are, but because God is good. He just does things right. But in Genesis chapter 1, we find ourselves in after creation when God has made everything. And God wrote down in the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God, eternal forever. You and I would know this. Verse 31. And God saw everything that was made, and behold, it was very good. So God made everything. He said it's very good. You and me, very good. Now think about it. I wrote this down. The way God gave it to me so I wouldn't forget it. One of the key ways that we know that God still believes that his creation is good is that he never completely wiped us out and started over. He just keeps giving us more grace. You know, because God, think about it. God could have just said, you know, I'm done. I'm just start over with it. Let's make another race. But no, he just keeps giving more to us. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalmist here, David, makes a statement that's really worth believing because if God can praise us for his goodness, and he praised us for what he made us, we ought to be able to praise him. He said, I will praise thee, Psalm 139, verse 14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He said, my soul knows that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee. You know, you're not a mistake. You know that? Everything about you is not a mistake. Your facial features, everything about you is not a mistake. Your substance wasn't hid from God. So I wasn't surprised. Oh, I didn't know they're going to come out like that. No, God knew all that. Everything about you, God knew that. He said, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. I love verse 17 and 18. Oh, no, it doesn't say oh there. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God blesses his own creation. He said, it's good. He says, you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our substance, though made, God has precious thoughts toward you and me. Well, how do you know that? Well, we go back to where we began. He gave his own son for us. His son gave his life and he sacrificed his only begotten son for you and I that we might be eternally in his presence forever. His blessing of praise. He praised. I wrote down the things that he gives us. He gave us the history of the saints. And instead of just starting over, he gave us the history so we could understand what former saints went through so we know how to walk with God. He gave us the church. That's a blessing, you know, that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. He continually invests in his creation. He gave us the complete word of God that we can have, to hold and to read and to meditate on. He's continually investing in that which he says is good. You know, when people believe in something, they invest in something. And he gave us his Holy Spirit that lives in us, inside of us, to guide us and direct us if we but yield to it and allow it to move us. And greatest of all, he just simply gave us himself. That we could have him hold your place. Well, actually, you don't have to hold your place. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. I love this. And when I think about this, and you know, you know, we bless things by virtue of how we invest ourselves in them. You know what people, okay, Wendy gave an illustration about some people, and I know different people that gave their life to jobs and to work, and that's how, you know what, that's what mattered to them. You know what matters to people, what they gave their life to, and what they give their life into, what they give their time to. I can say whatever I want, but people know what's important to me by what I give my time to and what I give myself unto. And here's Moses here in Exodus 33 and verse 18. He says, and I beseech thee. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. This is God speaking. This is amazing. Pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Because he just wouldn't be able to handle it. You always think about that when, you know, Moses, I know I say this all the time, but I love it. I have to say it again. When Moses, when he died, you know, his eye was not dim, but his natural force abated. I just wonder if he just went back up to the mountain and the Lord was there and God just moved the hand. Because he said, no man can see me and live. What a way to go, man. And you know, and I think about that part where it says Michael, the archangel, disputed about the body of Moses. Why were they fighting over that body? Because they wanted to see it after what happened to that body after God just let Moses see him. It's a good anyway. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, I'll put thee in the cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, Exodus 34, it's over probably a page, and this is amazing. I love this, because the point I'm making is God gave us himself. You know, I want you, this is how God introduces himself to Moses, how he describes himself. And first impressions should be lasting impressions. Well, they are, whether we like they are lasting impressions. And verse 5, it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. God, he said, as he shows Moses his back parts, he declares his name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. I want you to think about that the Lamb is worthy to receive blessing. If you think about, if we really thought about God in that light, then how much more will we really just trust him and serve him? If we really saw him, okay, the Lord, number one, he's a master, he's a ruler. And he's the Lord God. That means he's the master God. There's no other gods before him. There's none above him. No one can trump God. No one can overshadow God. No one's more mighty than God. And then he says, since I'm the Lord, I'm the master, and I'm the master God, I'm the ruler over every god that ever is, I'm merciful. And because I'm the Lord God, I'm the master, I have the power that is above everything in the world to mete out mercy, to give out mercy, and then to be gracious, and then also to be long-suffering. Everything that God is what we need. We need his mercy, we need his grace, he's long-suffering, we need his goodness, and he just metes it out again and again and again. And wow, what a magnificent God. And he gave that to us. He invested himself in us, the Lord God, comes to abide with lowly, sinful man. You know why he does that? To show the reality of himself. You think of it. You know what? God abides with you and me, so we know what, so the whole world can know what mercy is. The whole world can know what graciousness is. The whole world can know what long suffering is. Like Brother Mark was pointing out when he did the Bible reading on Sunday, if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, he read the scripture. Well, he read Galatians 6:1, if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness. And he talked about how all the people that have just been recently condemned by the Ashley Madison. And he said, we ought to be ones that, or have the, basically do what the Bible said, be spiritual and restore. You know, there's some humiliated, reputation destroyed people out there that need some restoration. And if you know the Lord God, that's what he's about, isn't it? He's about mercy. You know what the world would say for all of them, and what he would say for you and me when we get in sin? He'd say they have no mercy. But that's not who God is. The Lord God, he says, merciful. He says, gracious. He says, long-suffering. He says, that's who he is. And that's what he invests in that which he has praised, which is you and me. That's who he gave. He gives us himself. The Lamb is worthy to receive blessing. He gave us a great blessing of this life. You know, what a blessing it is to live this life and just to be able to move and to function and enjoy his own creation, the things that he made around us, and enjoy him. And then when my sin caused me to be separated from him and I had no hope within me to get back to him, God gave me his own life through his only begotten son, that I could have life again and I could know him again. Could be connected to him. And then as I walk through this life, he said he gives me good blessings. And he wants to give me good blessings if I just wait on him. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What are you looking for in this life right now? Where is it coming from? What are you hoping for? Where is your hope coming from? What are you holding on to right now? Where did you get it? That which you think is good in your life right now, where did you get it from? If you didn't get it from above, you probably don't need it. Because it's not good. I didn't say it, God said it. If we believe that, imagine how much more fruit we could have. Love, joy, peace. Because again, remember, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And know what the God's blessings, know it? They don't add any sorrow with it. And many things in life that we add, they add sorrow with it. I remember in university, I said I needed a car, man. I was broke, I didn't have money for a down payment, but I didn't have a credit card. and they wanted to help me so much. They allowed me to use my credit card for the down payment. And I had no money for gas. This is how dumb I was. I rolled two rolls of dimes. I found change around the house, rolled two rolls of dimes to put gas in my old car to get there to go buy the new car. And the way I made the deal was the guy had to put some gas in the car. If not, I would have made this deal, bought this new car. It was a demo. So it had 2,000 miles on it. So it wasn't brand new, but it was new. And so I made the deal. Why? And you know what I found out? Man, I thought this was good. And I thought this was very good. And all of a sudden that $200 a month payment kept coming. And they kept coming. And sometimes I really wanted to do something, they needed my $200. It had a lot of sorrow with it. Because it wasn't from him. I mean, I had a car that worked perfectly fine. I was in good health. Could have walked a lot of places. Like, hey, I knew so many people, I could have got a ride anywhere I wanted to go. But I wanted to have it. And they had some sorrow with it. That's just one of many things. And you could go down and list in your own life. Things that, you know, that's what I want. And you know what? You get it, and it didn't really even give you joy. You were glad to get it, but then what? You know, one amazing thing that happened to me, sometimes you'll buy something and you'll get it. And it's not like that particular thing does anything bad, but then you actually have a need come up. Something that you could really use, and you don't have the money because you got the thing that you wanted instead of the blessing from the Lord, you know. And so, but anyway, but His every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, you know. But you know, but Pastor, you know how long it would take for me to wait and to determine to actually wait on God for Him to give me that which is good and that which is perfect? No, I don't know. But I know it'd be worth the wait. It'd be worth the wait, whatever it is. Because nobody, you know, if you got a rich friend and you got a birthday coming, and he says anything you want, anybody in this room gonna send him down to Dollarama? Because you know, not too many good gifts come from Dollarama. And not too many perfect gifts come from Dollarama, because about everyone breaks in a few days, whatever it is. And you would send him to some place, if it was a rich friend, they really want to give you whatever you want, you would not send him there. So why, when the God that made everything, the one that proved that He loved us more than anybody could ever show love, whose name is merciful and gracious and long-suffering, and the Bible says the Lord God is the sun and the shield, the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The God that says there's nothing good He would ever not give us, why would we not just bless Him by waiting on Him? He's worthy. The Lamb is worthy to receive that blessing. He gives us life. His blessings are good. And He praised us from the very beginning. All of us should be thankful for the person that God made. Because you know, whoever you are, just think about this. It's not if we were believing God, then we'll stop trying to become something and we'll just walk obediently. Because that blesses the Lord. That exalts the Lord. That shows the worth of the Lord. You know, because it's not about me trying to become or do anything. Because remember, I'm just a servant. I just simply do what the Father says. Because the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And he that will be chief, let him be the servant. So if we just allow ourselves to realize, well, you know what? God said, I'm very good. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. What else? What do I have to prove to anybody? I just simply have to bless the one that is the greatest blesser of all. And bless the one who's really the one that's only worthy to receive blessing. And when we do that, I tell you, then God will be pleased, and we'll be happy that we please the Lord. Father in heaven, tonight, I thank you for being sending the lamb that was slain. But you sent the lamb, and you also are the lamb yourself. Don't understand it all, but I thank you for all of it. Lord, I just pray, since you're worthy to receive blessing, would you help my life to bless you? Would you help me to give you the blessings that you gratefully and so worthily desire? And I pray you do the same for every here in this room. Help us to trust you, and help us to have hearts filled with praise, recognize how much you really have blessed us, and help us to trust you and to love you completely. Thank you for being such a wonderful, gracious God.